you'll get saved. And it'll be the best day of the rest of your life. You say all you people do is cry. How can it be so joyous to know that you know that you've been born again?
Amen.
It is the best thing there is. Brother Clyde, going to preach for us. You lift him up this morning.
Amen. Amen.
Love you,
my
friend.
Well, it's certainly a great honor to be here this morning.
Bless the Lord.
I can tell Brother Roger's been around Ernie Murray quite a bit. We used to go to church together there, and during the handshake, Ernie would come up and shake your hand as he would going by where you couldn't answer him.
Yeah.
He'd kind of lean back and get ready to preach, and then he'd turn around.
So, amen to that.
I'm honored to be at the Lord's house today. Brother Roger didn't really finish that story. He said part of it. The rest of the story was when we used to preach homecomings. He'd been preaching for quite a while, and I was just trying to feel my way through. They'd get to Heavenbound Travelers come and sing, and they'd say, you got a bunch of preachers, one of you is preaching in the morning, one in the afternoon. He always took the morning service. I tell people a lot of times, I've never been accused of being real bright, and I'd get the afternoon service, and it took me a long time to figure out that after people eat, it's real hard to get a worship. But I finally figured it out. We had a lot of great members together, and I thank the Lord for that. I want you to really pray for me today. I've been under the weather since Friday afternoon. Last night, the first time I've been able to eat anything. So I'm kind of weak in the flesh, but in the Lord this morning, I want to try to do the best I can do. And I'm thankful for everybody that's here today, so you pray real hard. I'm not a note preacher or text preacher. I just try to read and do what God lays on my heart. So the harder you pray, the better we'll try to do today. If you got your Bibles, go with me to the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. I want to take my thoughts from there today. And my throat's a little dry and raspy this morning. But as I said, we'll try to do the best that we can do today. Glad to know that I'm saved. I see these young kids, I call them out today, up here singing, and my granddaughter playing the guitar. And, gives me hope, Brother Roger, that
when
dead and gone, God allows time to carry on. There'll still be those doing the work for the Lord. And I know they will. God said there'll always be those that will carry the gospel. And I'm thankful for that today. Glad to know, as they said before, that I'm saved.
Amen.
And beyond anything in this world, it's great to have great wealth. God blesses you to have that. That's wonderful. Great to have a great education. Everyone should have that. Great to plan for the future. Everyone should do that. Great to have all those things. But if you have all those things and you die without the Lord, you have nothing.
That's right.
Nothing whatsoever.
That's right.
The only thing that really matters in this life is what you have after this life. I've heard Brother Roger say many times when we used to travel together that he wishes his children, and I've said this using his example. He used to say, and I don't know, he may still say, he wishes his children could do great in life and have a lot in life. But rather than have anything, he wishes if they had a choice, he'd rather not have anything in this life and knowing that they're saved. And that's a great thing to say today. I wish my children, grandchildren would do great in life. Brother Brandon, that they can't do anything in this life, but I'm assured that when they leave this world, they're going to heaven.
Amen.
I say amen to that.
Yeah, that's right.
So pray for us today for just a few moments of time. I know you got to baptize us, so I won't be very long.
Take your time.
Most of you Bible readers know that this scripture here, they call it the scripture of the Valley of Dry Bones. And there's a lot in it today. But I'm going to kind of go through it as quickly as I can today so we can try to have plenty of time for the baptism. The 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And I'm going to start with the first verse and read probably down through the 14th verse, I guess. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry.
Yeah.
And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, this is Ezekiel, he said, and I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.
Yes.
Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews unto you, and bring up flesh upon you. That just means I'll give you strength and power, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them about, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe unto those that are slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great army.
Yes.
Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dry, and our hope is lost, but we are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, all our people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring unto you the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves.
That's right.
And shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, that you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord.
Yes,
Lord.
That's a lot of reading, a lot more than I care to do. But I felt like I needed to get all that out so that you can understand where we're trying to come from today. So you pray real hard for us, as I said, and I know that you will. Ezekiel here is in the Old Testament Bible, we call it.
Yes.
Was a point of time where God used Ezekiel and a lot of prophets in the Old Testament to prophesy about things to come, talk about things to come, maybe give a forecast of things
that's
to
right.
come.
Yeah.
And that's what he was doing here. He was showing Ezekiel a plan that he had in place, and he was trying to get Ezekiel to understand some things, but he was also laying out a foundation for what was going to take place here.
The future.
Under the Old Testament, the children of Israel, they served God, and it was a physical way of serving God. They served God physically so we could serve God spiritually.
That's right.
Everything that they did in serving God was done physically. It was a hard way to serve God. Now, I'll be honest with you. People say that it's hard to serve God today. I find it easy to serve God today as long as you walk where God wants you to walk. But back then, they had to do a lot of physical things to serve God. It was a physical way of serving God. And as he brought Ezekiel out there and began to talk to Ezekiel, he said, I brought him to a way where there was just a valley of dry bones, and he began to show him a vision, in a sense, is what it was. And he began to talk to him. He said, Ezekiel, he said, you see these bones that are gathered here? And a lot of people say that when God does things like that, it's just a vision or just a something that maybe took place. This is a chain of events that actually took place here. God actually, in the Spirit, took Ezekiel up to a place where he began to show Ezekiel some things that were going to take place in the future. And he began to talk to Ezekiel, began to show Ezekiel some of the things that were going to come to pass, and some of the things that did come to pass.
prophets. And in the scriptures there, some of the things that God showed the prophets, all of them haven't come to pass yet. But God laid a clear vision by showing it to them. That all of us know just exactly what to expect in this walk of life. All of us know from the very beginning, from the time we get saved, and all this walk of life that we're walking in, by what God showed the great men of God back then, where we are and what we can do, and what to expect in this walk of life, children. But I want to say to you today, my friend, thank you, Roger. I want to say this to you today, my friend. Nothing God does in this walk of life, or nothing that God allows to be done, should be unexpected to any of us. Hey, if you read God's word, you know just exactly what's taking place. People say today, preacher, there's not a great calling in the church like there always has been. But I'll disagree with you today. God hasn't changed a bit. God said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Ezekiel, he said, you see these phones there. He said, prophesy to them that they may live. First of all, he said, do you think they can live? He said, well, God, thou knowest if they can or not. God already knew what he was going to say. So he said, I'll prophesy to them so that they may live. Now I want to say this to you today, my friend. When he said prophesy to them, you know what he meant there, Brother Clarence? He meant preach to them. Preach the gospel to them. Now listen, I'm in the Old Testament back then. All mankind that died under the law, they went into a holy place, if you'll call it that. They went into a place. They went into a place, my friend, where the Spirit of God was holding them. And really brought Paul in captivity. They was in a sense. My friend, they couldn't go up to heaven yet. Because, buddy, the Bible said that the gospel has to be preached. And that the gospel has to be heard before anyone can get saved. So listen to me. All of those that died under the law, they were the dry bones that were gathered there. That's what it was. All of those that were gathered there. He said, Ezekiel, he said, can you preach to them that they may live? He said, well, he said, if I do, that God said, he said, this is what I'll do. I'll send sinners to them. That's just tired and strained. I'll give them that. He said, well, he said, prophesy to them again. He said, call out to the four winds, that the four winds may come in, and that the four winds may blow. Now listen to me. When I begin to think about that, you know what I thought, Brother Clarence? That's the four gospels. And when you look at it, that's the power of God. That's what that is. That's the Spirit of God. That's what that is. That's what he was talking about there. Have the Spirit of God come down to Apollo. Well, as I said a minute ago, they were held in captivity there. All of those that died under the law. But you know what happened? There came a point in time, and I'll try my best to hurry through this as quickly as I can. But there's a lot in here, and I want to get the main points out. Here's what he said. He said, prophesy to them that they may have life. Well, buddy, I want to tell you today, they wasn't able to do that under the law. But there came a point in time, buddy, when a man came down to this old world, not just any man, bear with me for just a minute, but there came a man down to this world some time ago. Buddy, I want to say to you, he wasn't just any old man. No, sir. He was the Son of God. He came down to this world. And when he came down here, he came for a purpose. When he left heaven, he had a purpose in his life. It wasn't to come down here like people thought. They were praying and praying and praying that the Messiah would come. My friend, that he would build his kingdom down on this earth. But that wasn't why he came. No, sir. He said, I came. This is why he came. To build his kingdom. But not of this world. His kingdom, my friend, is not of this world. It's of another place. Yes, sir. It's a place, my friend, called heaven. That I'm going to after a while. But I want to say to you, when the Lord came, I believe he came for a reason. He came for a purpose. Yes, sir. He didn't come. You know, to be seen. He didn't come, my friend, to have great wealth. No, sir. They thought he would come and be born in a great mansion or something. But I want to tell you, he came in a lonely manger. Yes, sir. As they said, no place to lay his head. But he came, brother, for a reason and a purpose. He came to fulfill the law. He came to make a way for all those behind him. My friend, they didn't have no way. They had no hope. He came, my friend, so that all the world that believed on him could be saved. They gathered him. They put him in a tomb. They thought, this was the end. But it was just the beginning.
Amen.
Woo! Yes, sir. Because when they put him in the tomb, spiritually, he went back in time and he preached the gospel to all of those that were held under the law. And when he did, they were set free.
Amen.
And because he lives, you and I can live. Malachi said, I saw a river. He said, but not only did that river flow forward, he said it flowed backward. Yes, sir. Brother Claire, you know what that means? It means that when he shed his blood on an old rugged cross, you know what it means, my friend? It means that when he shed his blood on that rugged cross, it not only flowed forward for you and me, it flowed backward on the cover of all mankind. Of that, my friend, if you're lost and undone, you can be saved.
Amen. That's right. That's
right. He said they came up a great and exceedingly powerful army. But I want to say this to you today. The President of the United States, I don't care if you like him or don't, I do, but I don't care if you like him or don't.
Yeah.
It ain't got nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
God bless him.
He has great power.
Amen.
They say he's one of the president, whoever it is,
God bless
is the most powerful man in the world.
Yeah.
I want to show you how powerful God's army is today.
Yeah.
I'd rather have the saint of God when I'm in need.
Amen.
Pray for me and call out to the Almighty God. Everybody today that have the President of the United States, whoever it is,
that's right,
come and lay his hands on me. Because when I have a need, buddy, he cannot cover it. But if that saint of God gets on their knees and cry out to God, God can do things that nobody else can.
Amen.
February the 10th, 1907. Long, long time ago, 12-year-old boy in the back of the church, too scared to get up. I knew if I got up in church, I'd get the belt when I got home. Too scared to get up in church. But on that day, I didn't worry, Mary Jane, about Dad or Mom, what they were going to do. I didn't worry if I got in trouble or not. The preacher prayed, buddy, the gospel went out, and it sunk down in my heart. Brother Danny, and on that day, my friend, I became part of the bones of God, because I accepted him down in my heart. And when I did that, children, I became be born again into his kingdom. And after a while, I'll go home to be with him.
Amen.
Forever and ever.
That's good.
Somebody get a song. That's enough. That's enough. That's enough. Today, if you're here lost and undone, you're in the valley of dry bones. You have nothing. You're dead in sin. You're empty. You're empty. But he said, prophesy unto these bones. Preach the word of God unto these bones. And if they will hear the gospel, they can come in. And they can have the power of God down in their heart. That's what he was saying. That's what he was saying. So children, today, stand for just a moment if you will. And if you're here lost and undone, you're an outcast unto God. But the best thing about it is, the very best thing about it is, God didn't leave you there. No, sirree. God made a way, children. He said, if only, and this is so simple. And when I was lost, I struggled with it and struggled with it. I don't know if everybody does, maybe you do. I bargained with God. We didn't have a whole lot going up. Some of you probably heard this story. But that Christmas, a few weeks prior to when I got saved, somehow or another, Dad managed to get all his boys brand new bikes. I never had anything brand new in my entire life. Most of my clothes were hand-me-down clothes. I'll be honest with you. And I told God on that day, I tell you, I took that bike, I'd ride it, I'd take it home, and I'd put it in the basement so nobody could bother me. It was special to me. I told God on that day, God, if you'll save me, I won't even ride that old bike anymore. I was trying to bargain with God. God didn't want me to bargain with him. When I finally opened my heart down and said, God, if you don't save me, I'm going to die. Just like that, I went from the valley of dry bones into an evergreen garden. Just like that, my friend. I don't know where that old bike is. But I know where it is, what I got that night. It still lives down on the inside of me. I can't lose it. I can't give it away. Because God gave it to just me.
That's right. That's right.
You can have the same thing. Come today. Family members that you know are saved, they're up in
Yeah.
They can't see you.
But you can see them.
I believe you'll be able to look up and see them there.
Yeah.
He said, wouldn't that be sad to be the one left behind?
Yes.
And that's what spoke to my heart more than just about anything. I didn't want to be the one left behind. I wanted to go where my family was. And now that I've been saved more times than I've been lost, I come to realize this. I want all my family to go, all my friends. I want everyone to go.
Yeah.
But if nobody don't go,
yeah,
and the Lord is there, I want to go see Him.
Amen.
I want to go see my Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you for praying.
Bless
you.
God bless you, Brother Clyde. Good message this morning.
Yes, amen.
And I'm sure hearts have been touched today. The only thing that's missing is you stepping out and receiving the
right.
Right.
Because you see, you're going to spend eternity somewhere.
Right.
You're either going to spend it in heaven,
yeah,
or you'll spend eternity in hell.
Right, amen.
You may have everything else taken care of on this side of the river. But if you've not got that taken care of, you could do it this morning.
Yeah.
You know, as I was coming to church this morning, I was thinking about that, you know, a lot of you that may already be retired, that I was thinking, and this has been on my mind a lot, that I'll probably never get to retire. Brother Ron, the way insurance and everything is,
right,
for retirees. And that's all right. I've come to conclusion that that's okay.
Bless you,
God.
We'll just work until the Lord calls us home.
Bless you, God.
But folks that's looking forward to retirement, it's not always cracked up to be.
Right?
Because you can't do much. Because by the time you get there, your body's broken.
Yeah.
The things you want to do, you'd like to be able to do it, you don't have the strength. Or you just don't, your mind just won't allow you to do it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that we got to go through that we don't look forward to.
Right.
But there's one thing I do look forward to.
Tell us about it.
When I've traveled my last mile.
Yeah.
I preached my last message, maybe some, the last song.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a fly.
Amen. That's right.
Where man has never gone with all the things that they've created.
Yeah, buddy.
We may never get to enjoy the golden years on this side. But folks, you ought to see what's happening on the other side.
Yeah. Amen.
A brand new body.
Yeah.
I tell you this morning, if you don't want to go for any other reason, you ought to want to go because you get a brand new body.
That's right. Yeah.
And you're in a place where the one who called you. How many of you remember the call upon your heart? Scripture says in the book of Revelations that He sits high on the white throne.
Yeah.
And as Isaiah said, He said in His train filled the temple that day.
Right.
And all of His children are going to gather before Him. Some people worry about how big my crown is going to be and how many stones are going to be in it. Folks, let me just be open with you. Every one of us has got a crown that's been born again. Amen. We're royalty.
That's right.
But every one of us is going to take our crowns
off.
Bless the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
God. And we're going to lay them at the feet of the one who died for our sins. We don't deserve any glory.
No.
Amen. He deserves the glory.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
So why don't you come while they sing one person just as I am? Can you do that, Paul? Just as I am. Because that's the way God wants you to live.
Yeah.
Just as you are. Come on.
Just as I am.
Step out this morning, Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
out, you can't blame anybody but yourself.
Right.
If you die and go to hell.
That's true. Yeah.
That may sound harsh, but you know, Brother Clarence, we sugarcoated it for too long.
That's right. Yeah.
You made the choice.
Yeah.
People say God sent them to hell. No, they went there because they chose to have death rather than life.
Right.
And if you go there, many times I've had people tell me, all my friends will be there. Bible says in hell that they're cast into that darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth.
That's right.
That doesn't sound like friends to me.
No.
Amen.
That's right.
And then when the Lord comes, he's going to gather all that death and hell has.
Yeah.
And they're going to be cast into that lake of fire.
Amen.
Where they'll die, but never die.
That's true.
Yeah. And as long as they are in hell, church, this ought to make somebody want to shout on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
There's going to be singing around the throne.
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
And I tell the church every once in a while here. I told you Wednesday night, didn't I, Rod? Y'all get there and you hear some high-pitched lunatic running around. Just shouting and praising the Lord. Don't talk too bad about me. I've got a lot to thank you for.
Yeah. Amen. That's right, Roger.
Got a lot. Well, just let me be. Just let me be. Maybe after a million years I'll calm down. But I don't know. I got a little Pentecostal in me, I believe.
Yeah.
A little bit of that fire they had on Pentecost, right?
There you go.
People say, Roger, you're a Baptist. I'm Baptist. From the Baptist doctrine, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. But I like that Pentecostal fire.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. There you go.
God bless you this morning. It's good to see everybody. We're going to change. Where's Greasy cup at? There she is. Greasy, you can go back here and get changed. Bethany, if you want to go back there with her and help her get ready. And where's Trent? Stand up there. Trent got saved.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
About what? 2 weeks before?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks before. And I tell you what, the water's back.
Amen.